Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're a passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live with the most vitality, the youngest real age possible. And we will give a couple of real age tips at the end of the hour, at the end of each hour. We're actually a two-hour show. You may only get the first hour or only the second hour. Different radio stations carry different parts of this. But you can always archive and get the archive part of the show at RadioMD.com. Look for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show under the archives label. And, you know, I'm really proud to be brought one of my dreams in life was to have only great sponsors for radio show and even hotels. Thanks for joining in. They're a great hotel chain in that they offer you the ability to get healthy food and workouts wherever you are and to tailor your schedule in a no stress-free or non-stress-free way. What a wonderful sponsor they are, and one of the snack sponsors, also wonderful. So we're gathering a group of great sponsors as well as great listeners. Today's show, we didn't get last week's show. It was a best of because there was a Comcast outage at our engineering uplink studio in Chicago last week, so they could not carry the show, or the show couldn't be done live. So I'm going to give you both spots of the latest of the news, so we'll go very quickly. But a new study out of the ECC, European Cardiology Conference, shows that the sprint study should be, we aim for 120 over 75 or lower in blood pressure. That's right. The SPRINT study was actually a study on blood pressure that was stopped early because the results were so dramatic. It's like the old VA studies. The VA studies, which were done in the 60s on blood pressure versus no blood pressure management, they were so dramatic. A fivefold decrease in death rates when blood pressure got treated in people with blood pressures in the moderate range, 140 to 160 over 90 to 95, just treating those decreased all-cause mortality, decreased stroke risk, decreased all serious complications fivefold in just 2 years. So they had to stop the studies early. Well, the SPRINT study, this is the first one I've seen where it was stopped so early. I mean, you occasionally get studies that are 5 years long that are stopped at 3 years or stopped at 2 years when it doesn't look like there will be any difference. But this stopped early. 9,300 men were planned to be in the study, randomly allocated, started in 2009, and women ages 50 and up whose blood pressure had one or more risk factor for cardiovascular disease. SPRINT was originally slated to end in 2017, but it was stopped in 2015. Why? Because they found the patients who were getting their systolic blood pressure below 120, so you want to go below 120, saw the risk of stroke, heart attack, and heart failure reduced by almost a third, and the risk of death declined by 25% compared with people where the goal was 140 over 85. So this is a study that says go lower. I've given you most of the key points. We'll go over it a little later on in more detail. But that's a key finding this week. It's our number one story. The number two story is held over from last week. Calorie restriction, that is decreasing calories by 20%. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how I would do this because the periodic fast is even better. But calorie restriction improved health outcomes. I'll tell you how much for health-related and age-related diseases. This is big news because it shows that in humans, what is happening in the animals seems to happen in humans. So this data and the data on periodic fast, it's why I am doing 1,000 calories a day one day and 750 calories the next 4 days and then go and eat regularly. I don't do full calorie restriction, but we'll come back to that. Number three story is really the number two story of this week. Well, it could get confusing if I keep doing these numbers, so I'm not going to keep doing it. But we're a diabetic nation. That's right. They looked at the incidence and prevalence of diabetes. 14.2% have type 2 diabetes. That means the data that was estimated last year for 29 million adults having diabetes, it's now almost 42 million adults have type 2 diabetes. That's up. When I started practicing in 1974, there were 2 million type 2 diabetics. Now 42 million, 21-fold greater, and not even a doubling of the population, an increase in 50%. So, if you will, much greater. We had 20 per thousand people with type 2 diabetes in 1974. It's almost 200 per thousand now. It's actually 150 per thousand now. And if you include 38.8% additional group have pre-diabetes, that means we have roughly 185 million type 2 diabetics or pre-diabetics in the U.S. If we treated them all the way we should, that is, full bore out, and they all came for care, and they didn't choose lifestyle medicine but chose medication, etc., it would cost us about 15% of our GDP. That's amazing, isn't it? 15% of our GDP, not 15% of medical care costs. It would be the equivalent of what our entire medical care budget is now. Why do we have income inequality? Well, we'll go into that. It relates to this. It's because every dollar of productivity increase in our manufacturing and other employment base since 1994, that's for the last 20 years, every dollar of increase has gone to medical insurance costs or medical care costs. That, and it will kill us if it keeps going up at this rate, because it will keep going up at this rate unless we do something about it. Is coconut oil healthy? Well, coconut oil doesn't seem to me to be the solution. It just causes inflammation in your brain. We think, yes, it's like sugar or cocaine in an Alzheimer's patient, makes them temporarily perk up, feel better, look better, remember better. But 3 hours later, it hastens demise, it hastens death, it causes badness. So it increases, apparently it increases sugar uptake in the short term, but it only lasts a short term, and that sugar uptake in the longer term causes inflammation, which kills your cells and kills your brain. Don't eat royal oysters. We'll tell you why not. Yeah, it does link to a serious disease, and you've seen headlines about this one. Is New York City off base in labeling high-sodium foods? We think so, and we'll tell you why we think so. Appendicitis and heartburn are infectious diseases. Are obesity and diabetes going to be labeled infectious disease? Will we take antibiotics now or change our bacteria or get probiotics? If you've got them, will you get one of those fecal transplants, that is, the transplants of poop? Maybe that's an answer. Maybe that's a way of getting around the problem that 97% of us don't do. Physical activity, don't make the right food choices, don't manage stress, or are exposed to tobacco. Two Kansas City Royal players came down with chickenpox. What that means for you if you're an adult who has not been immunized and doesn't think they've had chickenpox. These guys came, they were ball players in Latin America or Dominican Republic or Cuba. They didn't get immunized. They didn't get the disease. They did get the disease when they got here. And now what's happening? Well, in addition to not playing, and Kansas City's still doing okay without them, but in addition to not playing, well, more, what does it mean? Because it can be a very serious disease in adults. Can cause encephalitis, inflammation of the brain again, and cause deterioration, maybe even in their coordination and ability to play basic baseball, as well as cause them to have shingles later in life. When we come back, we'll talk and start talking about all those. At the bottom of the hour, a great guest. The shift, one nurse, 12 hours, four patients' lives. Why do nurses not take care of themselves but do so well with their patients? We'll talk to Teresa Brown about that, a great columnist and a great author. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD.
Who says you have to be young to feel young? You can experience that exuberant energy in many stages of your life, but sometimes you may need a little help. If you're not feeling that kind of energy, it may not have anything to do with your age, but instead the production of testosterone in your body. Michael's Naturopathic Programs has a formula for that. Michael's Testosterone Factors contains the essential nutrients that support the production of testosterone naturally. This comprehensive formula is a combination of vitamins, amino acids, and select herbs that are ideal for proper male hormone production. Feel young again by getting the support you need with Testosterone Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find it at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or go to michaelshealth.com and check out our full line of naturopathic formulations for all your health needs. That's michaelshealth.com. Michael's Naturopathic Programs. Tried and truthful. Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, this is so great.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. What did you always want to ask a nurse who cared for people in the ICU? How she sacrificed so much, what she did. Well, Teresa Brown is a great and a frequent columnist in the New York Times op-ed section or opinion section on nursing and its role in America. And she captivates their central role in any patient's life when they're admitted to a hospital. the shift, one nurse, 12 hours, four patient lives, where she describes this brilliantly and goes through it. But I want to ask her some other questions. Why is it that only 3 or 4% of nurses who take such good care of patients don't take as good care of themselves? What is it? And what can we do to get them to take better care of themselves? This is, I think, the key point in medicine, because we have to learn this. Because if 96 or 97% of us do not do the five behaviors and end up with an undermanaged or unmanaged chronic disease, what do we do to get them to care for themselves better? And that's what Teresa Brown will explore with us at the bottom of the hour. She wrote a great book. This is a wonderful book. You'll want to see how much and how well nurses care for them for you. It's got, she's just a brilliant writer, and we'll explore some of the book and how they care so much for their patients. They don't even take bathroom breaks. They don't do a lot of things. But why we can't get them to do more for themselves if they do so much for their patients is a major issue I want to explore with her, and I'm sure she'll be glad to explore it with us, because she's a brilliant both writer and columnist, as well as has great ideas. We're also going to continue our going through all these stories on the top medicine news of the week. The one I wanted to test to go to first, and the big story of the week, the calorie restriction and what it does. But let me go over some others quickly. Does your mouth itch when you eat apples or other fruits? Well, it tends to be, if your mouth is doing that, a mild allergy to one of the, usually it's the pesticides or other things that are put in with the apples. Maybe it's the apple protein itself or something else. But don't ignore it. If you do it, you probably should start avoiding that fruit or apple, because it can get to a much more serious injury. You ought to carry an EpiPen around with you. So EpiPen, and then you can go back to doing it as long as it's just a minor itching. Eating on the move leads to later overindulging. Why? It's because we think about moving, and we don't think about the food we've eaten. We aren't eating mindfully, and so we just eat more calories later. Well, those are some of the big stories, and I want you to all think about going to Washington, D.C., October 4th, because the silent epidemic that is addiction is going to come out of the woodwork that day, and we're going to talk about addictions to drugs, food, smoking, and what you can do to help someone else get rid of it. Gary Ginsberg was going to be on last week. He missed because we missed. And what he was going to talk about was bottled water versus tap water. Yeah, bottled water can be lousy or can be great. But tap water, how to make it really good? Well, after you have a couple glasses a day, then from then on, you should filter it with a carbon filter, like a Brita filter. Wonderful, because it gets away all of the chloride and all of the things that form many of the dangerous compounds for it. So you could infuse your water with vitamin C, as Delos Living does, a great technique, a great little thing. You can go to DelosLiving.com to find out more about their techniques for getting rid of stuff. One of the other ways, that's if you take a shower. If you're in a bath for a long time, you want to get rid of those hydrochloric and perchloric things, that is compounds. But if you're actually doing it in just drinking water, it works fine if you just take a little Brita filter and filter your water after the first couple glasses of the day. Should you filter the first couple? Well, we're going to have to wait for Gary Ginsberg coming back to us next week. But I want to talk now about the calorie restriction study and what I'm doing because of the data out on that and the periodic fast. Let me get a gulp of coffee, which I just got. Hope you don't mind that. I need that to keep me going right now. to clear my throat so it sounds halfway decent on radio. The 2-year randomized controlled trial of human caloric restriction, the feasibility and effects on predictors of health span and longevity is the title for this paper in the Gerontologic Society of America's journal, called Journal of Gerontology. It came out last week. It is from a number of places around the country. It's a combined study because they took around 218 people between the ages of 21 and 51. It's a long-term study, but they first wanted to see, could they do it? So they asked them to eat 20% less calories. Over the first year, they were to lose 15% of weight. They were to get to 20% down in their weight, even though they weren't obese to begin with. It was to achieve a total of 25% calorie restriction, and then they were to stay in that for the rest of their life. What happened? Well, what happened is amazing, actually, in that 82% of those on calorie restriction and 95% in the control group could stay on the plan for the 2 years. 82% could do. Could you eat 75% of your calories for every day for the rest of your life? I don't know if I could. They didn't get down to 20% below weight, but they did get to 11% lower weight. So if you weighed 140 pounds, they got down to 135 or 134 pounds and stayed there for the 2 years. And what also happened is every metabolic parameter they measured, that is, all of the risk factors for cancer, all of the risk factors for cardiac disease, for inflammation markers, all went down towards normal or below normal, meaning they achieved great success in this effort. And so could this ward off chronic disease? The answer is yes. Now, I told you about a study that was even went further than this, and it was only a 3-month study, so we don't know, and it wasn't in as many people. We don't know if it's doable, but it seemed doable to me. It's going on a periodic fast. 1,000 calories the first day. It's mainly tomato soup. And then 750 calories for the next 4 days. So it's 5 days a month of this. I'll give you some of the recipes we use on it. So my soup is pretty easy. I use that and I eat that most of the time. You can have, believe it or not, my soup has only about 45 calories per serving. So you can eat 10 servings, if you will, and stay under it. It's 24 ounces of diced tomatoes. I got them from a can, Cantita. 24 ounces of water, 3/4 cup of corn niblets, 1 cup of white fresh chopped onions, some spice, some garlic, and you mix it all in a soup pot. And believe it or not, calories 45. To get 750 calories, you got to eat about 20 portions or 18 portions in the day. I couldn't do it. So in fact, that's a way you can do it. Does it work? Yeah, it not only decreased all the signs, all the markers of cardiac disease and inflammation and heart disease, and it was easy for me to do, easy for me to stay on, 1,000 calories first day, 750 for 4 days, but it regenerates your stem cells, the magic marker, the magic holy grail of aging. We'll be right back with our great guest, Teresa Brown, Publishers Weekly Star Review, The Shift, One Nurse, 12 Hours, 4 Patients' Lives. We'll talk to this wonderful author in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
In this day and age, negative self-talk that we do to ourselves, we would never do to somebody else.
So true. First thing to do is to ask yourself, does judgment really make me better? Or is it actually destroying the way I feel about me? Get the awareness that judgment never contributes, it always destroys.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
Give us some tips, things people can do right now.
From a very young age, we've learned to pick up the attitudes, the beliefs of people around us, the thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and the judgments. Like when you hang around sad people, you get sad. One way of changing that is when you're in the middle of sadness or judging you, you want to say, hey, who does this belong to? And if this lightens up at all, if that judgment goes away at all, it's not yours. Just return it to whoever it came from.
Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks, or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs. Every 39 seconds, an adult dies from a heart attack, stroke, or related disease. These conditions claim the lives of more than 800,000 adults each year and are largely preventable. Two leading risks for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure and high cholesterol, serious conditions that often have no symptoms. 68 million adults have high blood pressure, and 71 million have high cholesterol. Here's what you can do to reduce your risk. Take your prescription medications to control blood pressure or cholesterol. Eat a healthy diet that's low in salt, fat, and cholesterol, and full of fresh fruits and vegetables. Take a brisk 10-minute walk, 3 times a day, 5 days a week. Don't smoke. If you do, quit now. While you've been listening, one person has died from heart disease or stroke. You don't have to be next. Learn more about how to keep your heart healthy at www.cdc.gov/heartdisease.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show and the Radio MD Stay Well Network. And you, of course, are listening to You, the Owner's Manual, where we help you take charge of your genes so you can live at the highest quality of life. Teresa Brown is our guest. She's a nurse and has an often present columnist for the New York Times in the opinion section, has written, and I don't say this easily, an awesome book. It's awesome because it really does tell what she goes through, what we go through, what nurses go through. It's called The Shift, S-H-I-F-T. One Nurse, 12 Hours, 4 Patient Lives by Teresa Brown, B-R-O-W-N, Teresa, and it's on Amazon, of course. And probably at your local bookstore. I'd love you to go to your local bookstore, but they just don't exist very much anymore. In any case, the point I want to bring up is Teresa Brown has a lot of experience as a real live nurse, and what I wanted to ask her, one, what motivated her to write this book, and then two, she describes in this book so well the intensity of nursing. that I wanted to, and I couldn't help, and I can't help resisting talking to her about why nurses can't get or don't have time to do, or what it is we can do in redesigning the system so they get time to care for themselves. Teresa, thanks very much for coming on. Teresa Brown, BROWN, The Shift.
Thanks for having me.
So you described the intensity of effort. And what is it like? There's a process of nursing where you choose, as you go through nursing school, you get exposed to a lot of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you chose an inpatient or a serious care area. How did that decision occur? And is it because, is there a, as in medical school, kind of a hierarchy of difficulty and of challenges one wants?
There is, and also in nursing school, you tend to get pushed into the hospital. The idea is that everyone needs some experience working in the hospital, and that's not a bad point of view, but that's what we, by and large, get exposed to the most, so it ends up feeling like a natural fit. And then for me, there's a lot of cancer in my family, which paradoxically made me decide to work with cancer patients. And for me, it's a way of giving back for the good care that people in my family have gotten.
And now there is, when I was doing training, which shows you how long ago this was, people either did med nursing or surge nursing or pediatrics. And then as the ICUs were beginning in that era, the nurses who were what you would call more adrenaline junkies or were more serious generated towards or better or able to make handle multitasking easier went in and generated or gravitated towards the intensive care units. But they burn out there because it's so intense.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's not that way. You go to cancer nursing or heart nursing or neurologic nursing. Is that common or is it just in these big medical centers?
It's becoming a lot more common because, as you know, healthcare itself is becoming more and more specialized as our knowledge base grows. So, say in oncology, maybe 30 years ago, there just weren't that many treatments. I mean, everybody got the same drugs. Well, now you might have two people with the exact same cancer getting two different treatments. So then you have to have nurses who know how to give all those different treatments, what to watch for. And so it really makes sense that nurses are also specializing too, because we need to have a lot of very specific knowledge.
Now, how did it happen that you decided to write this book? In other words, it really describes the intensity, the emotional part of nursing, as well as the physical part.
Yeah, I wanted to find a way to communicate what keeps me coming to work, because you tell people you work with cancer patients as a nurse, and pretty much the universal reaction is, oh my God, that sounds horrible. And there's definitely hard things, of course, but it's really joy and a sense of hopefulness that keep me coming to work every day. And I thought if I can tell the story of a day, I can get that across, because for the whole book then, I would have just a few patients, but I would be able to tell each of their stories throughout this one shift. So it became a way for me to let my readers get to know the patients in a lot of detail and get to see my work and all its various crazy rhythms. And at the end, I hope that they take away, wow, nurses are really dedicated to what they do.
And they obviously are dedicated. And that's actually one of the most interesting, interesting parts of nursing that is paradoxical in my mind and that I really wanted to get to. That is, if you look at the data from the Nurses Health Study, which is 88,000 plus nurses in the United States, have generously participated in this study that looks at what causes chronic disease, et cetera. If you look at the nurses who are 44 to 64 or those 24 to 44, it's roughly the same results. If you do five healthy behaviors in those studies, that is, you walk 30 minutes a day, you avoid tobacco, you drink only a little, or you manage stress, you have a waist half your height, and you eat a Mediterranean-like diet. If you do those five things, you have a 90% among the older nurses, 83% among the younger nurses of not developing a chronic disease. Yet in the studies, only 4% of our older nurses, 3% of our younger nurses did those five healthy behaviors. And when we offer yoga free to our nurses here at the Cleveland Clinic, we do it during shift. Their managers will give them time off. We do it after shift, before shift, etc. We have less than a 1% participation. We have 11,000 nurses, so we have a lot of nurses. So 1% is still, we get a fair number, but it is no place near the majority. And when you ask them, and even doing other things, it's very hard to get our nurses to participate in behaviors that are healthy for themselves. They just don't have enough time or too devoted to patients. So what? Why is that? And when did it start, Teresa? Mm-hmm. And is there a solution for it in your mind?
This is such a great question, and it's an issue that people in nursing are constantly talking about. And it starts in school that we're taught these are all these healthy behaviors. You just listed five great things to do to stay healthy, and we learn them so that we can teach them to our patients. But at the same time, the schedule in school is so incredibly grueling that we're sitting there hearing all these things to do to stay healthy, including especially get enough sleep, and it's impossible to do any of them. So right away in school, you get the message that the job is really more important than the demands of your physical health, which is a strange message to give to nursing, but it's this idea that you give the job your all. And that sounds wonderful, but the cost is...
Teresa, we're going to have to take a break here. We've got a hard break for our sponsors. We'll be right back, and we'll get to more on this question and other things from the great book, The Shift, One Nurse, 12 Hours, Four Patients by Teresa Brown. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
Are you suffering from hidden allergy symptoms such as lack of focus and fatigue? How about bloating, joint pain, headaches, or anxiety? Hi, I'm Dr. Suzanne Bennett, natural allergy and wellness expert. I have condensed over 25 years of my clinical experience into my new book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, a simple program to eliminate allergies and restore vibrant health from the inside out. This book is for anyone who wants more energy, more mental clarity, a powerful body, and to live allergy-free. I am offering four free gifts when you order my book today through Amazon or Barnes & Noble. For more information, go to drsuzanne.com/book. Again, that is drsuzanne.com/book to jumpstart your healing today.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling. But the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. Colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that helps you take control of your genes so you can live at the highest quality ever. I have not given our call-in number, 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800. And Ben, who's our new engineer this week, correct me if I'm wrong on that number and tell me correct numbers to call in. I don't have my email up today for it. Somehow my computer that normally gets it up won't connect to the internet today. So don't send me anything on UDocs. If you want to ask questions, you're going to have to call in 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800. We're talking with Teresa Brown. She's a nurse and a frequent New York Times opinion columnist. One nurse, 12 hours, four patient lives. The book is called The Shift. So really, and I don't think I've ever said this before. It is an awesome book because it does describe really well and really in the full emotional and, I would say all-encompassing terms, the life of a nurse is, at least as I see it, if you will. So it's a wonderful book. But I was talking to her about a different area that came out of the book. That is, if you look at this book, the nurses have no time for anything. It's an intense thing. They sacrifice their own health to their patients' health, including, if you will, avoiding the bathroom as much as possible, drinking less early on in their shift so they don't have to use the bathroom later on in the shift. I mean, crazy stuff. But in any case, that's what they do. And, if you will, they also don't take care of themselves, if you will. If you look at the five basic behaviors of physical activity, avoiding tobacco, managing stress, eating the right foods, eating the right portion sizes, they don't do those to any place near what they want their patients to do. And so one of the things we're having trouble with, you know, if I look at my own job as Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic and trying to help our own nurses, we do a tremendous job in getting, you know, if you look at it, the Cleveland Clinic weights in general are down half a BMI per year for the last 6 years. We've decreased smoking rates from 15.4 to 5.2%. There's a huge improvement in incidence and prevalence of type 2 diabetes going down in our patient, in our employee population. So, and even our cost structure has done so very well in our own caring nurses, but and employees. But it's much easier to get to our other 29,000 employees than our 11,000 nurses. And so one of the things I said, geez, this is a great opportunity. Look at this book. It shows how intense and emotional the nurse's job is, as well as how, if you will, not only intense, but intense in an emotional way, but intense in a mental and physical way. I should ask her, what is this known? And then what can we do about it? And in the break, she was telling me this is pretty well known. Is that right, Teresa?
Yeah, it is very well known. And also, thank you for the lovely compliment on my book. But this problem is well known. The hard part is what to do about it. And so much of it seems to come down to that we're working very long shifts, often 12 hours, and there's no opportunity for a built-in break. Even often lunch is basically borrowed time because there's no one to cover for you. And I do know of hospitals where they'll have a lunch staff who actually come in to relieve the nurses on the floor and let them have a lunch. But I think it's hard for people to understand how you're in this very intense environment. And if you read the book, you'll get a sense of just how intense it is for nurses. And there's no quiet room you can ever go to just to sit for 5 minutes. Even you have a patient suddenly get very sick, you have a patient die. Well, you've still got three other patients and they need you. And so a lot of stress builds up, and then there's really not great food around to eat. And it's lovely that families bring us food, but they tend to bring us cookies and candy and cake. And so then it's easy to get into this habit of, oh, I'm really hungry because I haven't eaten all day and I'm stressed. Oh, look, here's some chocolate. So just really not very healthy eating habits can get reinforced by the pattern of work. And then, of course, the days are long. You don't get enough sleep. But the big problem is there's a lot of stress, and there are not built-in ways to let that stress off during the shift.
And what... Even when we bring in a second group of nurses, and the nurses feel so responsible for the patients that they don't want to leave during their shift. So, in fact, when we have on the floor, as I said, we have in the lounge, we segregate that out so that the nurses can have a period of time for yoga, and we do it in 20-minute shifts so they can... do it in various phrases. They don't do that they don't take advantage of that to any place near the degree I would love them to. And we have before shifts and after shifts. I mean, we even do, as you probably know, working in a major medical center, we have buses that take nurses from and to and from the parking lot. And the bus drivers participate in one of these.
Organized
a 4 a.m. yoga class, but we can't get the nurses to do it to any place near the same degree. And so what I'm wondering is, do you know, is there a solution? One, it sounds like that we aren't the first to discover that we can't get our nurses to do things healthily for themselves. And then what should we, if we're designing the program to change it, how would you do that? Assuming you couldn't start a nursing school, and then let's assume you can.
Right. And you've pinpointed a key problem that I've also heard other places I've visited and other nurses I've talked to that management will set up a lunch break, and it's very hard to get the nurses, some of the nurses, to do it because they feel like nobody can take care of my patients as good as I will. So then as a profession, we need to do some work with ourselves about, yes, we're wonderful, but we're all wonderful, and feeling like you have to have complete 100% ownership of your patient at all times ends up hurting you and them in the long run because you're not taking care of yourself. So it's hard to get
across. We're going to run out of time, Teresa, so next time I have you on, we're going to have to actually go and address this question and say, what could we do? How could we design the system so that we can encourage the nurses, whether it's financial incentives or taxing or hitting them over the head with a 2x4, what could we do to get it so that we can get our nurses to take care of themselves as well as their patients? We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay tuned for the second hour. Thanks, Teresa Brown. The book is The Shift. Get it.